We're now going to head over to Coonawarra and welcome to the show Sarah Pidgeon from Winds Coonawarra. Morning.
Good morning.
How's the weather over your way?
Look, it's a glorious day here in Coonawarra. Lovely sunshine on a Sunday, so can't wait to get in the sunshine. And this morning I've been in our little baby winery in the cellar plunging some little individual barrel ferments and things that we have going on skins, which look beautiful. So it's a lovely day here.
Yeah, Sarah, it's Sam here. Hello.
Hello.
I was just wondering, how was Vintage 24 for the beautiful land of Coonawarra?
Look, we think it's a really good year. Really happy with it so far. Some lovely deep colours and generous ripe flavours coming through. But, you know, we're always cautious about saying how fantastic vintages are because everyone says that early on and let's wait and see. But, no, it's been a beautiful vintage year, really. Very happy with them. And we're nearly finished, but we just have a few more parcels to still come into the winery this week to finish off some of our later ripening Cabernet vineyards. And they look amazing.
Fantastic.
It's interesting, Sam and Sarah. When I chatted with Sue recently, I said the same thing about the vintage, and she said, "Look, you know, we're really happy at this point." She said, "But I really want to wait 2 years before I really give an opinion, and even longer potentially." But you know that whether it's going to be a really good vintage, you know.
Yeah.
But certainly, they look as young wines. They look delicious, really lovely. But you just. It's just the start of the wine's journey, and we always say that the last day of harvest is the start of the busiest few weeks in the winery because it's all off the vine, it's all in the vineyard and urgent and everything that's when the wines really start to reveal themselves is once they're all on skins and you have to keep steering them. So, you know, picking is easy.
Yeah. Picking is easy and then you watch the ferment come down in sugar and for the alcohol to go up, don't you? So each day you're sort of checking how the ferment's going.
Yes, all of that. And Simon, I know you were here a few weeks ago and looked at a few special little projects we had going on in the vineyard. And there's some of the things I was looking at this morning that we're doing special little ferments on. So they look really good.
Yeah. So Sarah, can you tell us about a little bit more about that?
Well, look, we've got a lot of ideas.
Is that a secret? That,
we'll just see which ones actually get to bottle, Sam. But okay. So it's not really a secret so much as I could tell you
work
about
work in progress.
Work in progress. However, a bit of a summary. Look, we've got a lot of beautiful old vineyards here at Winds, and there's some important anniversaries. We're so pleased that 2024 is looking like a good season.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because we've got the 1954 Johnson's Vineyard, so, you know, 2024, that's having a significant birthday. We've got our Johnson's Shiraz, which is older again, and that started being planted in 1924, so coming up for its 100 years there as well. So we've got little ideas and projects from these special old vineyards from the 1920s, 1950s that we're keen to make special wines and celebrate. And even our very oldest vineyard, the Undulia Vineyard, which is a parcel of Shiraz from the fruit colony era in the 1890s. So we've got little parcels of that put aside as well and just see what we can make to celebrate all of this history and those unique old vines on their own roots, special in the world, that not many people have the opportunity to make wine from or release.
Yeah, wow. That will be something. So we're probably a couple of years away from knowing or being able to see anything.
Yes, but, you know, call in and we'll show them all to you and we'll test out which ones look like good ideas or which ones make it. But it's just so beautiful down there. We've got about 10 little batches down there. I'll send you a photo later, Simon. It's just beautiful down there in the cellar with all of our little punch and ferments that we're plunging away.
Is obviously, I mean, you know, the winds have been around for a very long time, and again, we were talking to Dave Bicknell about the pressure of, you know, producing great wines. But I suppose what happens as well when you've got a, you know, is wines made to a style, or is it just, again, like everyone else, about the reflecting the, you know, the best of that particular vintage? And is there, you know, a recipe for, you know, that was set up, you know, years ago, or is it constantly evolving? It's so great to hear that you've, you know, got these small ferments and there's experimentation happening, and you're challenging yourselves. So, you know, what is the philosophy of wines?
And maybe, Sarah, why don't you even start with, in the context of the wines that you look after from V&A Lane Vineyard, that question of Sam's, and maybe relate it to that for a start.
Yes, well, so Wynns is, as you point out, an old winery, and so there are certain expectations about a style and quality from Wynns, and we're very well renowned for ageability of Cabernet. That cannot change. We need to make sure that we honour that history. It's so important for Wynns, for Coonawarra, for Australia, really, the ageability of our beautiful Cabernets. We've got our classic wines that we've made for 60 years, 70 years, and they have a certain style, although they've improved because we have better viticulture, we have better equipment in the winery and better knowledge all around. So they have a style, but they're better than ever, really. So it is a slow evolution, even for our classic wines, I'd say. But then we also, as a winery with all that history, we have to show that we are still relevant, and that we can, with all of our expertise we've got with these varieties in this region, that we make wine in more than one style. And that was the whole idea behind V&A Lane, Simon, when we started making those in the late 2000s. 2008 was the first time we had the opportunity to start thinking about doing something different, mm-hmm. showcasing wines from that area, V&A Lane, in a different style. So that was the aim, the project there. And so the opportunity in 2008 came because we had some new smaller fermenters come into the winery, so we had more opportunity to play from that point on. That was the reason for the timing of that, really. Mm. And what we settled on over the first few years of looking at wines from this region was that it became clear to us. We'd always knew that it was high quality from the vineyards along that road, V&A Lane. And it was often where we started our harvest. And V&A Lane is a vineyard in the centre of Coonawarra. So you would have thought on this nice, flat, famous Terra Rossa strip that we have, that you'd start in the north and gradually make your way south.
Yeah, wouldn't you? Yeah.
But what we already knew and started thinking more deeply about as we started carving out wines from this area is we start in the middle. We start at V&A Lane, then we go to the north, and then we go to the south. So we were wondering about the reasons for that as we were crafting the style of the wines over a couple of vintages. And what we, I guess, always knew but articulated better through making the wines is that it is a unique little microclimate there. Yeah. We did some soil measures and some elevation measures and temperatures within the vineyards as well to back this up. And it turns out it's just a couple of metres higher there.
Yeah.
And that means that the that couple of metres means we've got slightly warmer temperatures in those vineyards compared to the... It slopes to the north, and those vineyards just to the north are generally cooler.
It's fascinating. It's only that little amount of elevation that makes that difference.
Yes. So here we are, Coonawarra. Oh, you know, it's all flat and it's all the same. Well, no, we always say that you have to be a local here to see the hills. In just a couple of metres, we get very nerdy about that, and it makes profound differences, not just to the soil and the quality of the soil, but also to the temperatures in your vineyards and everything. Mm. So it's an early ripening area. So understanding that, we then took that to the V&A Lane Wines and said, right, well, they're early ripening to start with. Let's push it. Let's make a very different style and change our whole flavour profile that we're looking for the V&A Lane Wines. So they are. We try to find the earliest ripening point we can when we start harvest there, and it can be 2 to 3 weeks earlier that we pick there than we do for other styles for wins. So we're really looking for the first red fruit burst of flavour that you get when your fruit is ripening. That's what we look for when we pick the V&A Lane Shiraz. It tends to have less sugar at that time as well. Mm-hmm. And you could say arguably what we're waiting for other wind styles is more richness, more depth to the flavours. But we, with this different style, we think from this microclimate, we can pick very bravely, very early, and have less alcohol and a lovely lightness to the wines. Yeah. So that's what we're looking for there. Still delicious, still high quality. They age well, but they're significantly different in their whole mouthfeel and structure because of the picking decisions we make, and then we make the wines in a very different style to the other wins wines as well. So they tend, both the Shiraz and the blend, the Cabernet Shiraz co-ferment that we do, to be only in the mid-12% alcohols, can be 12.2% in some years. So that's significantly lower than the 13, 13.5% that we are often seeing for other wins wines.
Yeah. So when it comes to the making of, you know, how do you adjust your style based on those lower Beaumets or?
Yes. So with the Shiraz, we use a whole bunch of fermentation, which is pretty common. A lot of Shiraz makers and, of course, Pinot makers around the world use that, but that's something, that's a tool that we have which really elevates the perfume and adds that nice steminess to the ferment as well. So there's that, there's the, so it's early harvest. We don't add anything natural ferments, so just let it do its thing. We've done all of the thinking and planning about these wines before they come to the winery, and then we just leave them to an extent, just gently guide them through. Different kind of oak as well, so especially for the Shiraz, it's all older oak and puncheons, old puncheons, so very gentle, and just making sure that it's the beautiful perfumed fruit that people are drinking at the end. Mm. So that's quite different to other oak choices we make for wind.
Well,
and then with the blend, it's, as I mentioned, it's a co-ferment. Now, that's not easy to do, putting Cabernet and Shiraz together.
Yep.
And deliberately, normally you would pick Cabernet a few weeks later than Shiraz, but we're not leaving the Shiraz until the Cabernet gets ripe. We're picking that Cabernet in the same week as we're picking for the V&A Lane Shiraz, so that's super early. So that was something to challenge ourselves to rethink where we wanted those flavours to go to make those wines completely different to the choices we'd make with other wins Cabernets.
Mm.
And the response from, you know, your consumers, your customers, and especially those everyone who's, you know, enjoyed wins Cabernet over the years, the brightness and the freshness of the V&A, is that obviously something that's very attractive to me, I think.
Look, they're delicious. Most people love them. Even our more traditional wins lovers of Black Label Cabernet, which is a gorgeous wine in itself, they love these wines too. It's just this opportunity to have something that's supple, fresh, delicious as a young wine. They can age, but I like them young.
Yeah.
And it's just such a nice, gentle way of drinking these beautiful varieties. So people love them.
Yeah.
And great. If anything, they're surprised from a winery with such classic styles as wins that we're making this style too. That's probably something that we still find we're communicating well over a decade later that these wines are so different. But they're still a beautiful surprise to people when they drink these.
Mm. Sarah, in that in your explanation, you mentioned the oak choices and the oak program. You guys, I was fascinated by the program that you have, and you're very close to that. So can you tell me what you guys do with as far as, you know, choosing, and well, I say the oak program, that's a technical term. So the barrels that you get from France or where in the world. So you do a lot of testing, don't you? And there's a lot of discussion around the choices of, you know, those barrel makers and to present it in the way you want it.
Yeah, you're right. We do. We trial quite rigorously here at Wynns. And so I guess when I started as a young winemaker here a couple of decades ago, there was all sorts of oak here. There was just every cooper who turned up, I think, was given a berth to trial something, and it was just overwhelming, the number of coopers and the number of barrels that we had there. Hard to get your head around. So I took it upon myself to sort that out, if you like, to really research what each of these coopers were doing with us and trial them properly, taste them properly. And out of that, we just cut back and got rid of the ones quite ruthlessly that were not working for us. And so we went from having, you know, 20, 30, way too many coopers from Hungary and everywhere to just working with, I think we're down to about 5 coopers now. And it's just a much calmer, more focused program for us to just work with a few coopers that we've got a good relationship with, that we can know their barrels and how they perform year in, year out well, and we can refine with them. And we just find that's to the benefit of the wines, that we don't have this cluttered feel to the extra flavours over and above the fruit that perhaps you get if you work with too many types of barrels.
Mm.
So that's a bit of a summary of the overarching philosophy that we have with oak.
Yeah,
it's all
you obviously
French oak for Wynns. We find that the cool climate we've got here, the French oak is more subtle and it suits our styles. There's nothing wrong with American oak; it just doesn't suit the medium-bodied, red-fruited style that we have here in Coonawarra and at Wynns. Doesn't really sit well with where we're steering our wines, so we do work with French cooperages, and with, as I mentioned, only with a few that really suit our style.
Mm. It's a key thing, isn't it, for that range? But the V&A lane, you make it sound very appealing, I think. So Sam's nodding her head, thinking, "Yeah, well, that would be a good
thirsty.
One. Better get."
No,
they're beautiful. A couple of those,
as I mentioned, for the Shiraz, it's all older puncheons, so it's just really heroing the fruit.
Mm.
With the V&A Lane Cabernet Shiraz blend, which is supposed to emulate the traditional claret styles, that is also all in puncheons, a couple of new puncheons each year. I think Cabernet just loves a little bit of new oak to really support and pull the whole project together, but very light on the amount of new oak that we put in those wines. But then that is really something that's part of the philosophy for Wynns, is to not over oak the rest of our wines either. So I think there was an era, you know, in the 80s and 90s of if your wine wasn't powerful enough to handle 100% new oak, it wasn't a good wine. I kind of remember that being a bit of a rhetoric about pressure to have your wine good enough to handle oak. And we've really, through the trialling that we've done over time here at Wynns, flipped that to say, well, it should be about supporting the wine, not the other way around. Are the barrels good enough? And the amount of new oak is quite calm and very much in the background for the project that wins. We just don't think that a lot of our wines can need 100% new oak, so we tend to often be running at 20%, 30% new oak in our Cabernets, maybe less in our Shiraz, and just it just needs to be in the background and supporting.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you're doing a pretty good job.
Most powerful barrels can be the second fill. They can be just beautiful and more suited to the wines than the first fill of your oak.
Yeah, definitely. Sam, have you been to Wynns?
I have. I had the pleasure of visiting. I spent a lot of time in Coonawarra with Bowen Estate and also Catnook Estate, working for the distributor. But it is an amazing region. It again, just the community of the wine industry, the way everyone supports each other, just the Terra Rossa soils and the way those vines sit there and grow, and there are sites that are quite different to each other, and a fairly isolated region, and some of the best experiences in wine that I've had. And Wynns has a very special place in my heart. My dad, the first winery he ever sold the wines for was Wynns. And so as a very young child, I can remember tasting, as you do. And have continued that love affair with Wynns. And really, to me, emphasise, the importance of Cabernet. And we forget about it, especially being in the Yarra Valley to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. It becomes Chardonnay and Pinot focus, but just how beautiful Cabernet can be. So thank you, Sarah.
Oh, my pleasure. And yes, it's a wonderful community here. People who really love Cabernet tend to be here, the Cabernet nerds. This is the place for you.
Yeah.
Yes, we're isolated, but we're here because of this unique match of soil and climate with that beautiful variety. So, yes, that's a reason for many of the locals to be here in the wine business.
Yeah, and I think more Victorians need to get over there.
It's only 6 hours drive.
It's an easy drive, yeah. And well, it's not even six.
Is that
Sam? I wouldn't think.
Am I driving slowly?
Yeah, you are. Because
maybe
the roads are better.
Six if you stop in on, the 12 Apostles or do a few little.
Oh God, what was
I doing? Could just go straight through from Hamilton across, or maybe you're stopping for lunch at, what's that pub that's really good, Sarah?
Go to Dunkeld to the Royal Mail. That's a nice little place to stop in way over.
It's easy, and go and spend a weekend there, and then you just drive back. I'm always, trying to remind myself that it's as hard for Adelaide people, South Australians based in Adelaide, to come there as it is for us to come from Victoria to Coonawarra. Mm. So,
but when I say isolation, to me that's an attractive thing as well, and I think that Coonawarra is like this little oasis that you're just so happy to be there and you just never want to leave. So,
and you haven't, Sarah. So You've been winemaking for 25 years with Wynns, yeah?
Yes. Yep. They got me.
Says something.
All that beautiful Cabernet.
Says something about how...
It's such an inspiring place. Amazing vineyards that Sue and I get to see year in and year out at Wynns, and they're just beautiful, delicious, improving all the time with our wonderful viticultural team that we work with here as well.
Yeah.
So there's always something new, new ideas and improvements in those lovely old vineyards, and then the new generations of viticulture and plantings that we have going on with new clones, but also selections from within our vineyards. There's just so much that's interesting and challenging here. So, yep, it's a wonderful place.
Yeah, well, we look forward to seeing what you're coming up with for the anniversaries and then what the new releases will be. So that's in May, isn't it?
Yes, starting to tell people about our new wines in May, and then I think they're on the shelves in early June.
Yeah, great.
For Wednesday, but a series of little events and tastings coming to your way over on the east coast in Lake May with Sue, and beautiful wines from the 22 vintage and 21 vintage, which are both beautiful seasons and delicious wines. So keep an eye out for those.
We will look out for those. Sarah, thank you. It's great to have a chat again, and thanks for running us through those and answering a couple of questions. So, all right, well, enjoy your afternoon and good luck with the remainder of vintage, hey?
Thank you, and you have a good afternoon too. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Sarah.